Last week, we are on the subject of one of the messages of Jesus' resurrection. There are many lessons and there are many messages that come from Christ's resurrection. We have been on the subject of looking at one of these messages. And to bring you up to date, and for those who might not have been here last week Sunday, we ask that the passage of Acts of the Apostles 17:30-31 be read again.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day.
At the time when men were not enlightened, because Christ and the gospel had not yet come, the Almighty God overlooked, that's what the word wink at means. The Almighty God overlooked a lot of wrongs, sins of men and women. But now, Christ has come. The gospel is here. God is no more overlooking or winking at sin. But brother,
but now commandeth all men.
Now commandeth some men.
All men.
All men.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
To repent.
To repent.
Because he hath appointed a day.
God has appointed a day.
In the which he will judge the world.
It is called the day of judgment. It is coming for all of us. And to make sure men everywhere of all walks of life understand this, he gives an assurance. Let us hear the assurance.
Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
So Christ's resurrection is an assurance from the Almighty God. In the lesson last week, I pointed out that because we are, all of us, you included, I am included, we are influenced and we are affected by our life's experiences, all of us. It is said that we are product of our environment. Because we are affected by our experiences, we use our experiences to judge, weigh, estimate things. This might work well sometimes, but when dealing with God, we have to be careful of that. We tend to bring God down to our level. And if you are not careful, we humanize God. When we think of things like the judgment, how we are going to be judged, if we are not careful, we use what happened around us in our society to determine that. So among the things we pointed out last week is that there will be no bill of rights. That is, there will be no document binding the Almighty God to observe certain rules and certain rights that man has. But then, we pick up now on a point that I just mentioned. And that is, there will be no trial by jury. Sometime in human development and civilization, it was felt that when a man is on trial, man or woman, justice would better serve if he is tried by his peer, his equal, his companion, those who are on his social level in society. Hence, we have jury, and some of you have served as jurors. But ladies and gentlemen, if sin were only against man, things might be different. If when we sin, whatever that sin is, if the only consideration was our fellow men, things might be different. You might have good reason to reason that having your fellow human being, your peers, to sit and be a part of that judgment. If sin were only against man, but sin is always first against the Almighty God. We must remember that. No group of, no body of peers can therefore evaluate the impact of sin on the pure, righteous, holy God. No man can really estimate how sin affects the Almighty God. Because sin is first and foremost against the Almighty God. God alone is able to give us a hint in respect to how sin affects him. And we cannot even grasp it. Watch Psalms 51. Verse 4. Let us hear it.
Against thee.
Against thee.
Thee only.
Against thee.
Thee only.
And thee. Thee.
Only.
Only.
Have I sinned.
Have I sinned. Wait. You know what David is talking about here? when he not only committed adultery with Uriah's wife, but also murdered wholly Uriah. This is what Psalms 51 is about. And here you have David talking about, it's only against you, God, and you only have I sinned. What was David thinking about here? This is what he was thinking about, ladies and gentlemen. May I? The man had committed adultery with Uriah's wife, and he murdered Uriah. Now, there is hardly any sin that could be more against man than the sin of adultery here and murder. Are we there? Yet, David felt that when sin is viewed, are we there? When sin is viewed in its true character, the offense against the Almighty God far outweighs the offense against man. Even sin like the sin that the specific situation that was under consideration here. Watch here. David, you would have thought, would have prayed in respect to his sin against Uriah. You killed the man. Murdered the man after having committed adultery with his wife. Watch here. Are we there? Yes! Rightly, David, having viewed sin in its true character, realized that the offense against the holiness of the Almighty God far outweighed the offense against man. Huh? Sin is always first against God. It's not only David who have this view. Run with me to the book of Genesis 39 and verse 9. Run with me to the book of Acts 5 and verse 4. Let us hear Genesis 39 and verse 9.
There is none greater in this house than I.
This is Joseph. This is Joseph addressing Potiphar's wife. Are we there? He acknowledged a fact that none is greater in my master's house than I am. Watch here now.
There is none greater in this house than I.
Read on.
Neither hath he kept back anything
from
me.
Neither hath my master kept back
anything from me.
Anything from me.
But thee.
But thee, you, his wife.
Because thou art his wife.
That's right.
How then? Can I do this great wickedness?
That is when Potiphar encouraged him to relate to her sexually. Let us hear it.
How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
Against who?
God.
But I thought it would be against Potiphar. You notice here? You notice here? The accent, the emphasis is not so much the sin done against his master, even though it would. But the bigger aspect of the sin is God. Our sin, whatever our sin, it is always first against God. And this is why, as I'm coming down, that sin must be dealt with God's way. It cannot be dealt with. In fact, I'll be showing that God has no bandulu way in dealing with sin. So here we have David. When his fellow human being would be the person in his view, we have not only David showing that when it is sin, God is the first person. We have Joseph. But we have a New Testament person who should also know. The book of Acts of the Apostles. And it is chapter
5. Verse 4.
Let us hear it.
Whilst it remained, was it not thine own?
While it remained.
Was it not thine own?
The money, the proceed from the sale of the land, Ananias and Sapphira. When you have it, didn't it belong to you? Yes. When you sell the land, didn't the proceed belong to you? Yes. Read now, brother.
Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you get the drift here? We are always blinded by the human factor. We have to watch that, especially in respect to serving God. We are always blinded by the human agency. My God, I could probably leave this lesson now and pick up and probably a half a dozen lessons on that very point. Huh? The human factor. You get the point? When Ananias and Sapphira came, they were dealing with Peter, the Apostle Peter. Huh? Dear fellow men. And it seems as if, like many of us, sometimes for moments we forget that they are only agent. Huh? The person behind them, if they are teaching the word and etc., etc., is God. So Peter didn't say. Peter knew what the problem was. He said, you have not lied unto man. You know what? Ananias and Sapphira thought they lied to Peter. Like many of us. We think we are dealing just with the preacher, the faithful brother, and what and what. No, be careful. You have not lied unto man,
but unto God.
But it was you that returned the proceed over to. And it was you that we were bringing on. Peter said, no, you are mistaken. Do we get it? Because sin is first against the Almighty God. Huh? You have not lied unto man, but unto God. No trial by jury, because no man anywhere can understand the impact of sin on the Almighty God. But not only that, there will be no trial by jury, by our peer, are we there. On the day of judgment. On the day of judgment. Wait. No. I haven't forgotten that we are being judged every day, every minute now. Somebody might be there say, he's talking about the day of judgment, something to come. Yes, that is to come. But you and I are being judged every day, every hour, every second. That's right. But a special day is coming. And on that day, there will be no plea bargaining. Brother Mitchell, what is that? It is the practice in the legal system of many countries today, and in recent times we hear some of this in the news. The practice where lawyers bargain with the prosecutor to reduce the sentence or drop the charge. For various reasons, the lawyer defending the person who has been charged may present some things, may I call it bargaining chip, that the person who has been charged have. Sometimes the person who has been charged can tell the prosecutor that there is a bad guy there engaged in the same lottery scam. There are about half a dozen of them that I can tell you about if you'll drop my charge. Woo! What do you have to bargain with the God? What are you, as I've said, there will be no plea bargaining. Because plea bargaining, you have something as a bargaining chip. Are we there? You see, brothers and sisters, since all have sinned, every man, every woman stands condemned. But not only that, you cannot tell the Almighty God. And that day, that it was John Brown caused you to sin. It does mean that people do not sometimes provoke us to wrath. But the Almighty God has His own righteous way of dealing with that. So you be careful, because the Almighty God knows the area where you are looking escape. And the Almighty God has plugged the hole to make sure you know what to do. Are we there? Romans 3:23, 6:23. Let us hear it.
Romans
3:23.
For all have sinned.
All have sinned.
And come short of the glory of God.
And fall short of God's glory. You have nothing. None of us have anything that we can take to God to erase this fact. Are we there? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6:23.
For the wages of sin.
The wages, the salary of sin.
Is death.
Is death.
But the gift
but
of God.
Thanks be to God. God has given us a gift. In fact, up front, I wasn't ready to say this yet. I would say it in another few minutes, but just as well as say right now. The only bargaining chip we have is Jesus Christ. With Christ, put it the right way, Brother Mitchell, with your life in Christ, you can go to God. In fact, once you place your life in Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, you don't have to do any bargaining. Christ will bargain for you. That's right. That's the only bargaining chip we have. The wages, the salary of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Are we there? Then, wait. Mr. Mitchell, probably because you don't know me very well, you know, I'm very helpful to people. I'm kind. And Mr. Mitchell, I live a upright, a morally upright life. The Almighty God plugged that hole. In the book of Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, let us hear it. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, let us hear it.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
Wait, brother, you didn't read that, God. I don't know why your mother and father didn't say to school. Read that properly now.
But we are all as an unclean thing.
Not some of us.
We are all.
All?
We are all.
But wait, brother, you sure that is there? Because there are people out there who feel they are so decent, they are so nice, they are so kind, they are so helpful. That will remove their sin. The Almighty God says you are mistaken. We have nothing to bargain with. Finish reading, no?
And all our righteousness.
All our righteousness.
Are as filthy rags.
Somebody didn't hear that. Plea bargaining. We don't have anything as bargaining chip. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Are we there? Mere religiousness is what the Bible talks about, our righteousness, our religious deeds. The Bible says it is like filthy rags. Are we there? Mere religiousness and the good works of a 100 lifetimes. Somebody didn't hear. Mere religiousness. You are deeply religious. You have been doing good for the past 90 years, and for the next 100 years that God will give you, you'll do good. You'll be morally upright. And you know what? God going to give you 10 lifetimes to do that. That cannot deal with your sin problem. Are we there? Look at Titus chapter 3. Verse 5. Let us hear it.
Not by works of righteousness,
mm-hmm,
which we have done, but according
to His
mercy.
Wait, somebody. You all hear that? This is not about our religious things, you know. That's what it calls. What it calls it?
Not by works of righteousness.
Do you all get it, brothers and sisters? These are things that we do as religious people. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness. We need to be careful what value we put on that which we accomplish. Because if we're not careful and the man, the value of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Read, brother, not by works of righteousness
which we have done.
Have done?
But according to His mercy.
You all hear that? Read.
He saved us,
mm-hmm,
by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Wait. Did you know that this is referring to God's plan of salvation? The washing of regeneration. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Let me move on, but I'm going to put a word here, you know, that you must not underestimate. The washing. Hi. But Brother Mitchell, is my washing machine I use to do all of this? So me no know where the Bible are talk about. I'll soon tell you. But you see, if you are going to get your sins dealt with, some washing has to go on. And I may pick up on that in a few minutes. But what the emphasis here is the fact that even our religious deeds, that of itself does not deal with sin. Not by works of righteousness that we have done. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, so this is why there can be no plea bargaining. But not only that, there will be no bill of rights, there will be no trial by jury, there will be no plea bargaining on that day. I want to also bring in the fact that there will be no statute of limitation. You know, I wouldn't want to end with this because there are some two or three more points, but most likely I'll end with this because I want to spend a little time with this, because this is the area that men and women have been misled. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? There will be no statute of limitation. What is that, Brother Mitchell? This is the code, the legal provision in many countries that when a crime has been committed, if certain time elapses, 7 years, 10 years, and you weren't caught and brought before justice, before the court, after that 7 or 10 years, whatever the time period, you can no more be arrested and be prosecuted, be tried for that crime. That is statute of limitation. That means there is a limitation placed on the time during which you might be arrested and charged for the crime. That is time held to deal with the crime. Did you know that there are lots of men and women that feel that time vanish away sin? Some people feel sort of in a peculiar way that after time, since they forget it, God forget it. Truly. Sometimes people are not even conscious that this is the way they are thinking. It's very important that we understand that when we are dealing with God, there is no statute of limitation. Are we there? Sin against the Almighty God is not diminished or removed or erased or forgotten by the passing of time. I need to say that again. Sin, when it is committed by you, by me, by any man or woman anywhere, are we there? It is not diminished by time. The sin does not become less. It is not removed by time. It is not erased by time. It is not forgotten by the passage of time, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has no other remedy for sin. Are we there? Did I say only by the blood of Christ? Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4 following. Let us hear it.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death...
You know that it's talk about baptism here. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death,
we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Read on.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Read on.
That henceforth we should not serve sin.
Read verse 4 again.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
Read that again.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death.
We are what?
Buried with him by baptism.
Notice now, he tells you what happened at this burial in verse 17 and 18.
Verse 17. But God be thanked.
God be thanked.
That ye were the servants of sin.
You were slave of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You have obeyed.
From the heart.
From the heart.
That form of doctrine.
Wait, brother, take time with me. I'm slow. Form. Form is a mold. To get this column like that, you have to use some board to make something exactly like that and pour the concrete in it. And when the concrete dried, it comes out like the form. Watch here now. He said, you have obeyed that form. What is that form?
Of doctrine.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is the form. When you obey this, Mr. Mitchell, you are confusing me. Let me unconfuse you now. How do you obey this? You obey this by dying with Jesus Christ when you repent. You are dead to sin. You obey this by being buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. You obey the form by being resurrected or come from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life with Christ. The Bible says that, verse 18,
being then made free from sin.
Brother Percival, then when you obey the form, when you die with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ, that is when you repent, baptize, and come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. What happened then?
Ye became the servants of righteousness.
No, you're something there, freed from sin. It's somewhere there.
Being then made free from sin.
That's right. You hear when we are freed from sin? Are we there? That's the only way we are freed from sin. When we obey the form. And that form that you must pour yourself in and to come out holy and cleansed, the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Only then we are made free from sin. Are we there? Lady, what are you on, Brother Mitchell? That there will be no statute of limitation. Sin against God is not diminished, removed, or erased, or forgotten by the passage of time. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we there? judgment may take 10 million years to come. If you do not address your sin according to the gospel of Christ, after 10 million years, your sin will still be held against you. Sin must be dealt with on God's term only and with God's remedy only, or it will be forever be held against you. Wait. No statute of limitation. Yes, we are still here. Because there are a few things I need to settle with you before I finish. Sin must be forgiven. God's way are be punished. Are we there? Let me show you something here. Let us turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verse 2 and 3, and Exodus chapter 17, 8, following.
Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman.
I want you to listen to the passage. Go and smite Amalek, and what?
Utterly destroy all that they have.
The word utterly means totally destroy all that they have. Read.
And spare them not.
Don't spare the Amalekites. Are we there? I want you to follow because there. This is just an illustration, but it's an important illustration. The Almighty God. In about 1090 BC, that's this time when God sent King Saul to destroy the Amalekites. It was about approximately 1090 years before Jesus Christ. Listen, God, further, why He is commissioning the Israelites under the leadership of King Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites. Read on.
But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass.
What verse is that?
3.
Start verse 2 again.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel.
Brother, take time with me now, brother. I remember. That's what God says? God remember. Ladies and gentlemen, get this now? The wrongs of the Amalekites had been done when the Israelites were in the wilderness. That was about 1470 BC. So the sin that God saying, remember here, is some 400 years old. In fact, let me give you a little of it. Exodus chapter 17, 8 following. We're not going to read all the verse I want to read. Time going. Let us hear it.
Then came Amalek and found with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua.
Then came Amalek and did what?
And fought with Israel.
In Rephidim.
And Moses said unto Joshua.
And this is one of those great scenes. And you know, sometimes when Brother Webb and Brother Fisher and myself doing the radio program, when we think a radio program going to take just 15 minutes, after we have done 3 15-minute on that verse, we still have a few dozen more lessons left on it. And this is one of those great passages. You know, every time I touch this passage, it brings to me the importance of meeting God's condition. Because this is the time when God asked Moses to stretch his rod. And as long as Moses held his hands out with his rod outstretched, God's people, the Israelites, were prevailing over the Amalekites. But when poor Moses' hand got tired, and Moses was a human being, his hand would get tired. God knew that. Yet when the man's hand get tired and fall, Israelites were dying. God's people were dying. But God, you know, this is not. Moses had to get some of the brothers to hold up his hand. And even today we need hands, help to hold up. So Moses' hand get tired. It was the Amalekites want to wipe out God's people, the Israelites. So this is it. What you read here in, are you in Exodus?
Exodus 17.
That's 1,400, one, just about this day, approximately. Huh? And you know what? All these 400 years, God never forget the wrong that Amalek did against Israel. God is about to punish it now, some 400 plus years after. But Brother Mitchell, I thought there would be some statute of limitation on that. No. God no forget sin. May I? Sin is not something that is evaporated. Sin going to be dealt with one or two ways. One, you meet God's condition, or two, it is punished. However long, let me just show you something, time to dismiss. Let me, remember, you know, I like this. God says, I remember. After 400 plus years, nobody who fought against the Israelite in Rephidim was alive then. But God did not forget. Are we there? Look here now. Why? Notice, and follow me here as we try to wrap up. I said try. Why address past sin not? Notice the passage of Romans chapter 3, 24 and 25. Or rather, 25 and 26. Let us, quick. And Hebrews 9:15. Why address past sin now? Let us hear it.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation.
I want you to listen to the passage. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. The word really means mercy seat. The place or the person in whom God shows mercy. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation for.
Through faith in his blood.
In his blood.
To declare his righteousness for the remission.
Watch here now. Listen this. Listen what the brother is reading. To declare his righteousness
for the remission of sins.
For the suspension, the word, as I always explain, the word for remission used here is not a correct translation. It is not the same word used in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 and verse 37-38. The word for remission used here is the word that meant temporary suspension. Where you put something out of the way, not because it is dealt with. You just put it aside on a temporary basis. Read that again.
For the remission of sins that are past.
It really means for the temporary suspension of sin. For the putting aside of sin. Read.
Through the forbearance of God.
That is when God was overlooking sin. These sins were never dealt with. What the passage is telling you, it is now that God is going to be dealing with them in Christ. That is thousands of years after. Listen to the passage in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15.
And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
Look here now. Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. Read.
That by means of death,
which means his death.
For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament.
Somebody didn't hear that. By means of Christ's death, notice, it's plain, you know. For the redemption of the sin, the word transgression, sin, that were done when?
Under the first testament.
When?
Under the first testament.
You see what it is saying, Brother Webb? When Christ died, he died also for the sin that was done under the first testament.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But my God, why now, God? Those sins were still in God's sight. Thousands of years, animal blood didn't deal with them. Could not deal with them.
Yes, sir.
But Brother Mitchell, I thought the sin would just be evaporated and God would just forget that. So long? Yes. 10 million years. If you do not address your sin the ghastly way, it will be used to condemn you on the day of judgment. There is no statue of limitation when it comes to God and sin. Sin is not forgotten by God. It is dealt with in Jesus Christ and the gospel. Oh, Lord of mercy. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to end because I use up a lot of you. You know, I want to get back to this passage in Titus. But I'm sorry, I cannot tell this clap them to stop. Just read the passage and let me close. Oh, my Bible is closed. I was going to close it. Let me put my outline one side so that I'm not tempted. I just want you. I'm sorry I can't revisit that passage. Just read the passage, brother. Titus, is it chapter 3, verse 5? Let us hear it.
Not by works of righteousness.
You all hear that? So be careful what emphasis you put on the right things you do. They do not remove sin. Read on.
Which we have done.
Mm-hmm.
But according to his mercy.
This is telling you how sin is dealt with. According to his mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us.
By the washing of regeneration.
By the washing. In fact, did you know the word used here for wash is really the word lava? And it is using the baptismal pool for the baptism. The lava, I'm not going to spin it. That's right. It's the place where the priests had to wash before they enter the tabernacle. And the lava here is referring to the baptismal pool. Read that little part again, brother.
But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration.
That's baptism. Read on.
And the renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Wait. Quick. Some people say. The washing here is the washing of the Holy Spirit. No, sir. Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't need a baptismal pool for that. You see, this is definitely baptism. And what the passage is showing is that Jesus Christ, God's only remedy for sin, Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation work together. God has no other way of dealing with sin. And look here, when you and I sin, unless we deal with it God's way, even when we forget it, God does not forget it. Because God, in his righteous nature, cannot forget sin. It has to be dealt with. For the alien sinner, you must believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, confess Jesus' name, and get baptized so that the blood of Jesus Christ can be applied to your soul. For Christian, when you sin, you must acknowledge to yourself and to God if it's private sin. If it's open sin, you must acknowledge to yourself and to the church and to God. Must. May I just throw out, oh Lord, invitation song. If you are here today, you can become a Christian. You can become a Christian right now, hearing, believing, and go through the process of the washing. That's right. Baptism is imperative. God has no other way in dealing with sin outside of Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation. If you are here today, you are not a child of God. What a blessed time that God has given you to come and accept him. Put him on through baptism. If you are here as a child of God who has sinned, God has no bandula way. God has no quick fix way. God has no shortcut way to deal with sin. God has a fixed, immutable plan. It must be obeyed. As we start.